Now we have our guest in the studio.
We certainly do.
Would you like to introduce yourself, sir?
It's Thomas Segru, and I run Diversity Anti-Bullying. It's a group for children from 4 years up, and we deal with a multitude of children's issues. Thanks for having us, and hopefully we can enlighten you on what we do.
What is it that you do, in a nutshell?
In a nutshell, well, we would have to be a very big nutshell to focus on all the things we do. The children come to us from 4 years up to possibly 15, and then perhaps adulthood and some of the other groups that we run. We approach anti-bullying in a holistic manner. We're trying to get children communication-wise to open up to each other, to parents, to people that should be listening. We do that through a system of role play, music, dance, and including self-defence. Our direct focus is on bullying. It's not an anecdotal thing that happens by the way. It's what we do. And we do that with the kids. Their acknowledgement and their involvement is absolutely vital.
That must be a really challenging thing to do, Thomas.
The challenge is rather not the doing of it. The challenge is getting it recognised, and that's why I'm here today. The challenge is getting recognised by the people that actually should be there backing us. Any challenge there is overcome by the joy that we have with the children that come and the parents that do support us. So our challenge is getting people to recognise the issue. And it's an issue that can happen to anyone, not just children. It happens to people in the workplace. It can happen in the home, within marriages, etc., etc. This bullying goes on and on. And it's a lot of the time, it's just the occasions when there's something major sort of happens, it's highlighted. But it goes on all the time.
And it's a thing that's really difficult for a lot of people to talk about, isn't it?
Yes, I think so. Children especially, they're under a lot of pressure. They're activities are coming right, left and centre. So there's lots of activities that they're school pressure, home pressure, and obviously recently the COVID issues, etc., etc. So life makes it hard to talk about. But we're trying to change that. We're trying to change that in personally within children and adults and also within organisational systems.
Indeed. So where do you actually do this wonderful work?
We're at Ride Academy at the moment, and we're on Thursdays, and we start 5:30 till 6:30. But we would like to be a lot more places, and that's where we're looking for funding and interest.
Yeah. So is interest a thing that's quite hard to grasp?
Interest is the most frustrating thing, I think, that we've barrier that we've come up against. And surprisingly enough, it comes behind the interest in what we do, comes behind such other things as football, fishing, lawn tennis recently, and that's where we struggle.
So as you're saying there, it's difficult for people to listen or to open their ears. Is that what you're saying?
It's difficult for, and I understand it, it's not easy for some, but the people involved in it and affected by it, it will be difficult. Mm. But the difficulty that we find is within organisations, the people that should be helping us, education, sport, the police, etc., and various charities involved in what we do, and others. We were recently ignored by a charity that actually was a community-based one, and most of the charities in there ignored what we did in favour of the ones that I've said, fishing club, football, etc. Football, one of the most divisive tribal things in the world. So that's our frustration. If we can get the interest, then that's really what we're after.
Now, we have in the studio our lovely guest, Thomas Segru. You've been doing this for an awful lot of years, what you do in various different guises. Why do you feel the need to focus on anti-bullying?
Because the need is there. The need is expressed by parents, by children, and it's suppressed by, of all people, the school, the education. We hear, we go to school, there's no bullying here, there's a great anti-bullying system, etc., etc. But then parents come to us and they say, well, no, my child tells me that there's this going on, that going on, and this going on. Well, apart from that, personal experience, life experience of bullying, and not just of being a victim of bullying, but actually being a bully. We don't just focus on victims. We're not about that. We're about trying to holistically deal with bullying, and that must include the people that bully. It must do that. We can be guilty of bullying without even knowing it, and the different types can emphasise that.
It's quite a complex situation, isn't it, bullying? And how do you pick out the different focuses to work on with people? Do you have a particular programme you use?
Yeah, we have a programme, but all the children are individual. And to carry it on, we need the interest. So the interest, if it's lacking, we have to rely on the small group that we've got, and we have to develop it within that. But we would like to expand. We would like to go. We've been various places, but we'd like to go to more places, and then we could develop that further. So the program as such is flexible. It relates to the children's issues. We have discussion issues. The children discuss bullying every session. We talk about instances of bullying or when they've been a bully. And we relate the session to that. So it can change within the session. It's not a dogmatic thing that a strict routine as such.
That's quite an interesting concept, though, having people who have experience of being a bully and as well being bullied.
Well, it has to include that, doesn't it? It cannot just include victims. People will come out en masse, and rightly so, when they hear of a victim of any sort of violence, bullying, etc., and that's correct. But somewhere along the line, there's got to be some focus on why. And there's got to be some appreciation. It's getting better, but it has to be more forthright. It has to be more proactive.
So it's looking at the roots of why, then?
Yeah, it's looking at the roots of why, and it's looking at it from the children's viewpoint. And it's dealing with it in a proactive manner, and not a historical quick fix or anecdotal type.
So if one of your kids comes up to you and says, I'm being bullied, you have to look at it. What do you do if you find out he is being bullied? How do you go about getting in contact with the school or the police or anything? Or do you just control the situation or try to control the situation?
Right. So, yeah, I mean, that's great, because we encourage children to be open-minded, to talk. That's the main thing. They talk to as many people as possible about it. And we'll talk within the group every session, and we go say, has anyone been bullied? Has anyone been a bully? So then, within boundaries, we will explore what happened, how you dealt with it, and then we'll say, who do you speak to about this, and how do we... Now, some in that conversation, children come up with all sorts of answers, some good, some not so good, and we just guide there.
Right.
As far as anything else beyond that, the parents would be informed if it was anything major, and the parents are there anyway, so they're within earshot, and we would discuss it privately, perhaps after the session.
Do most schools have anti-bullying policies?
Yeah.
I would hope they have.
I think they do. I think they do have.
And do they come up with it? The thing is that, as you said, you go to the school and you'll say, have you got bullying at your school? And they say no. Obviously, they're not going to say yes, because that wouldn't be good for the school. But it doesn't work that way. They have to be forthright and they have to come out and say, yes, there is. What are we doing about it? Because that will help you, help the children as well. At the end of the day, if they say, no, there's no bullying on this, and it's happening, it's not doing the kids any good, is it?
It's not doing the kids, the parents.
It's not parents, everything. Like.
It's not doing anyone any good, the teachers, no. etc. And the honesty needs to come from that. And it takes courage, as you say.
Oh, absolutely.
Schools are not going to, hopefully they will, but most perhaps not going to say, yeah, our school's got bullying, an issue with bullying. But we would hope now that they would come forward and they would look for groups like ours. There are other groups out there. I mean, I went to a school last week, a focus group last week on knife crime, and it was Gatton and Lake Primary School. Fantastic. It was really interesting, and it was a real good insight into knife crime and gangs. Well, we're not at that level yet, but I guarantee you that that's coming, and it could be there underlying. So we need to be doing it now.
Well, you need to be put in steps now, because, as you say, 3 months down the road, it could start. It only takes one, and then it escalates as well.
Exactly.
And that's a problem, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's an environment of fear. Children don't carry knives because they want to go out. They weren't born to carry knives. They weren't born to kill people.
No.
So it's an environment of fear that we have to challenge.
Indeed.
Well, I have a different thing with that profile. With that is, if a person carries a knife, he's going to use it. So it's all right saying it's there for protection, but if you've got it, it's like having a gun. If someone approaches you, you shoot them. It's and they'll say self defence, but I'd rather you didn't carry a knife or a gun or stuff like that, and protect yourself as best you can. But I mean, it's just people just carry knives, and it's ridiculous what's going on, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, I can quote now: a 15-year-old stabbed to death by a 16-year-old recently. 2 15-year-olds stab a 16-year-old in a hate crime. 2 times. Children racially assault someone, and going back away, Ava White was 12 years old, stabbed to death by a 13 and a 15-year-old.
The mentality of someone that young of age, what's in their mind? For goodness sake, they've taken someone's life. It's just mind-boggling, isn't it?
It is, and that's where we need to get into that mindset.
Yeah.
At the moment, it comes from a viewpoint of people that have very little understanding of that mindset that would create that level of violence. But that's where we need to get involved in. And it's not done at 15, 16.
No.
Get them now relating
to each
other.
Get them when they're early and learning all the time. Maybe that's where you should be able to try and get programs into schools. You go and talk to them, tell them what exactly it is, give them the ideas coming forward.
Yeah.
They don't have to say it in the class. They can come back to you and say, right, this is what's happening here. And you might. And the thing is, the more times you resolve something for some person, it'll pass on to another one. Well, they've done me that, they've done that. And as long as you can get results, because it is a results thing, that you've got to make sure that people aren't getting hurt.
Yeah, I mean, it's a result thing for society. It's a result thing for all of us. Yeah. Not
Absolutely.
Just now, we're developing people that will do good things in the future. So we need to get them at that age, and we need to promote their empathy for other people. And we don't do it by putting them in a boxing ring or doing the martial arts that we do, self-defense stuff. We don't do it by that. We do it by getting them to communicate and to recognize aggression, frustration, and how to cope with that in themselves.
Yeah, indeed. That's right, yeah.
Could you tell us that the other things that you do, because you're going to come back and talk to us about 2 other aspects of the work that you do. Do you want to give us a quick link for that?
Yeah, again, a quick one. We do a women's empowerment group, which again is wrapped up in a, I suppose, a sports physical fitness type environment projection. But we also do another one for older people to get them mobile, to get them socialising, and that's wrapped up in something else. But everything that we do is empowerment. It can be wrapped up in whatever you want, but it's empowerment, and it's directly that. It's not done as a byproduct. Nothing is a byproduct of what we do. Empowerment is what we do, and anyone who comes to any of our sessions will see that it's very proactive. In any of those groups, we're very proactive. We're not traditional, systemized stuff. We're new way of thinking, new way of everything, and we're looking for support.
And can I ask, how can people find out more if they either want to come to your groups or if they want to offer some support?
Right, our main avenue of communication, because it's the only one that we can afford, it's free, is Facebook, and that's through me, and that's Thomas Patrick Sugru. If you contact me via that, phone numbers, etc. And if you live in Ryde, you can't help but see some of the posters around Ryde. And we'd like to, we've been elsewhere, but we'd like to cover far more and do far more. 1 hour a week, not enough to achieve what we want to achieve. So we're looking for support that we could be able to do more. Yeah, we've had we have great support, and our biggest supporter is the caretaker at Ryde Academy, bless him, Simon, and he's a stalwart of support for us Other than that, it's just me.
Oh, gosh. That's
You've got
the world on top of his shoulders, isn't it, really?
We need to go on now, but thank you so much for talking to us today, Thomas. And you're going to come back to us very soon on the 3rd of March, we hope.
Yeah,
to talk to us about another one of your things that you're doing at the moment. Thank you so much for coming to speak to us.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Your local station, Vectis Radio, FM 104.6.